one of the people who's been incredibly generous with her knowledge about art, and it's a vast knowledge of art, is Jana Ter Blanche. She's currently a curator with Southern Guild, and I caught up with her just before she headed to LA to open up a group exhibition. Now, please note that this was before the destructive fires that plagued Los Angeles, and my thoughts go out to them as they rebuild this beautiful city. Jana and I spoke about the fact that she'd grown up in a tiny diamond mining town in Namibia and how she really was able to hone her curiosity and her imagination, and how much of an impact she feels fashion has on art and making it more accessible.
Jana, thank you so much for being one of my first guests actually on Audacity. It's been amazing to watch your career, and I'm very excited because I see what you're doing in terms of the art world here in South Africa, but also taking our art internationally. But I want to start from the start. I mean, from the beginning. You grew up in Namibia,
I
right? So
did.
tell me, how did somebody go from Namibia, beautiful, calm country, to the glamorous world of LA and the art scene there? Just
Oh,
take me
that
through
sounds
the
like a
journey.
journey there. That sounds like a Hollywood movie. Well, firstly, thank you for having me. I am thrilled to be here. I've just always loved having art conversations with you, and how wonderful to do it on this platform. So I am South African, but I moved to Namibia at a very young age, I think around 2, 3, and we lived in like diamond mining town. So really what you imagine, not glamorous, small town, but beautiful community and beautiful people, just open land, vastness. So in a way, I kind of grew up quite isolated because I was also an only child until 8 years old. So all of that inner world, that world of
Imagination,
reading, that world of drawing, that world of playing,
yes.
that's where I gravitated towards. And also with quite limited access to TV. I mean, I think we had like 3 channels or something. So it really was this time for me to think and explore. And I think that's when I fell in love with creative pursuits, music, creativity. And then upon my return to South Africa for boarding school, just Cape Town was the big city. You know, it was the place where everything happened. And I think that natural curiosity was born in me to just want to find out more about people because it felt so foreign to me. And I think that's what's gravitated me towards the arts, because there's just so much to find out. It's an endless, stream of new ideas and peoples.
But I think that's what I also love about the world of art, is that there's a place for everyone. And I think that's been something for me that's quite important. You know, it's yes, of course, sometimes you get a chance or the opportunity to go to art school. But you can also learn so much just from being curious and just being
Absolutely.
open.
Absolutely.
Your journey then took you to Michaelis, of course. You
Yes.
studied here in Cape Town, in the mother city, at possibly one of the finest art schools on the continent. Tell me about that journey.
So, I mean, during my teenage years, I really, again, just continued this journey. I was always out of reading about art. I was so curious, going to museums and just absorbing everything around me. So always in the back of my mind, it was this thing, I need to do something with art. But I didn't know what that was. So I'm so happy to hear you say that there's so many avenues into it. I did not know what the word curator meant until I was probably, let's say, 20 years old. It's not like you grow up and you come out and you're like, I want to be a little curator. You know what I mean? And even now, today, that word sounds quite grand and doesn't always encompass like everything that I guess the job entails. So during my sort of formative years, just learning about the art world, taking some time off before coming to Michaelis, and then just really being open. So I didn't walk in thinking, oh, I'm going to be an artist. I actually really just wanted to learn. And yes, brilliant school. And also some of my favorite South African greats have been to that school. I mean, Gavin Yankees, your Marlene Dumas, your Moshe Kwelanga. So there's this really storied history. So being in those halls was really exciting for me. I'm also like a student of history. I get very curious and excited. So I kind of feel those things around me. Also, just a little nerd thing, it has like probably the best art library in South Africa, Michaelis. So
Okay, well, I'll actually go and hang out because I
totally.
drive past Michaelis. I think a
Yeah.
lot of South Africans
Yeah.
or Cape Townians don't
Yes.
even know that it's there because it's this
Totally.
beautiful building
Yeah.
and you always drive past it.
Yeah.
I had the chance to actually go in with the Zaaiks Global Council.
Yes.
We had a chance to go and listen to a lecture with Bernie Searle. I went to
Oh.
listen to Portia Malatsi as well from
Yes.
the curator at the
Yes, I
Venice
saw you
Biennale.
there.
And it's been so awesome to actually see these sort of hallowed halls, you know, yes, lots of history in it.
Totally.
So you developed your curiosity then in Michaelis?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the cool things is that UCT sits there on the mountain, yeah, right? It's so beautiful. But then Michaelis is in town. So that was also quite a nice thing because you felt a little bit more in step with like the galleries. So in a way, like my time there just was about meeting people. And I'm speaking about like my peers, the people in my year, because those people have now come to be my peers in the industry, you know. And as you said earlier, people work in different spaces. Some people are writers. Some people are behind the scenes doing production. Some people are artists, you know. We all look up to them, curators. So it was just a time of forming those bonds. Mm. And those bonds, you know, stand with me to this day. And obviously your network expands from there. You meet friends of friends. But yeah, I think studying in a vibrant city like Cape Town really afforded me those relationships.
It's interesting because I actually knew of you before I knew you, because one of my friends would collect from Smith, where I think you actually worked. And
yes,
she told me about this Yana, and she was, yes, just, she said, you and yourself, you're an artwork in yourself. She just, yeah, loved the way that you explained art to her. Tell me about your journey on the Cape Town art scene.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, it comes back to this thing of kind of not fully knowing where my place was going to be in the art world, you know. And then post-graduation, kind of starting to do independent projects. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, I was became the head curator at Smith Gallery, which was a really, really brilliant gallery in Cape Town. Unfortunately, it's no longer with us. But it was a place for me to really explore, work with younger artists. They had a very creative, open program. So, I mean, every gallery has its remit, kind of what it's trying to bring to the world. And what Smith was trying to bring to the world was really a level of experimentation, mm, and a level of openness, and also working often with new graduates. So the artists that have not yet fully been sort of like had a gloss over them. They were still really rough and ready and, mm-hmm, experimenting. So it was such a wonderful time because I could really just go be fully creative with my curation.
And be free. Because I think that's the other thing.
It's, yes,
I've realized when people are given space, mm, to just do what they want to do and experiment, mm, that's the greatest privilege, actually. It's not privilege that's necessarily coming with money, but to have time and freedom.
Totally.
Time is what artists, totally, need.
And artists just, they have this, you know, they have all these wonderful ideas, and exhibition making, mm, is honestly my favorite thing. It's, mm, the thing that I think just gets me the most excited, because I get to work with an artist or artists, depending if it's a solo or group exhibition, to work on their dream, on their journey. And you say this time thing, let's say this artist has this month or two to really connect with the audience, to spend time in the gallery, showing off their work, speaking about their work. That's, you know, that's such a privilege to be able to help them do that, and also to watch it happen, because, yeah, they just want to be feel invested in.
So then your journey takes you to Southern Guild. And yes, I mean, I've seen a couple of exhibitions that you've curated there. I've watched how you've worked with artists. I think it's been quite interesting to watch how Southern Guild's taken design and then sort of taken this route into art and then taken South Africa to Los Angeles. I think that's something that I'm quite excited about, because that's quite audacious, you know, to go to the art scene in LA, the center of contemporary art, I would say. Well, most Americans would obviously say that, but yeah, quite a center of contemporary art.
Yes, totally. I mean, I did not imagine that, mm-hmm, when I was the little girl growing up in Namibia, that I'll be going to Los Angeles next week and, you know, opening group exhibitions, etc. I must credit that idea and the genesis of Southern Guild making the move to Los Angeles to my founders, mm-hmm, Trevin and Julian McGowan. Trevin had this really brilliant idea of bringing South African exceptional creativity to America in a very tangible way. So, mm-hmm, Southern Guild had done fairs in America for like since 2012. So Southern Guild has this long history of taking exceptional South African design and fine art to America, but for brief periods. Mm. I think the more our artists grew in their careers, you know, you have an artist that has one exhibition and then two and then three, and they're gaining this international audience. Southern Guild realized it had to grow with its artists, mm, and also create those opportunities that the artists need to evolve in their career, to connect with those international curators, to connect with those international museums. So definitely audacious, and we're in our first year, mm-hmm, in LA, and it's definitely it's around the clock work, and especially with that lovely 10-hour time difference.
I was about to say, I mean, art doesn't switch off then for you.
It really, really doesn't. I mean, the Los Angeles Cape Town time difference is very exciting because at around 5 p.m. Cape Town time, everyone wakes up in LA and they all want answers. So no, it's been a delicious challenge, I would say.
I like that, delicious challenge. Yeah. I'm going to take that one.
Have it.
speaking about delicious, I mean, I love the way also that you've incorporated fashion into art and design. And I look at Richam Nisu, who I'm actually wearing I'm wearing one of his t-shirts or sweatshirts. But for me, it's a big thing how that way that you've actually made art accessible to many people also in that way, because many people didn't initially identify Richam Nisu as an artist. And then watching him grow in his career, and you've all been part of that.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the Rich's journey in the art and design world is actually a very interesting case study, because it shows us that people, creative people, are creative. Mm. They boxing them into fashion or fine art or design isn't always very helpful, because just because a person can do fashion design like Rich can.
Or even Ati. You know, people don't know that Ati Pattaruga started off in fashion school because he couldn't get into art school initially.
Absolutely. So there aren't these clear demarcations in creativity and in studio practice. So why should there be in the gallery world? So someone like Rich, he can dream up these 3D spaces which on beyond wearable art. You know, wearable art fashion is one fantastic part of his practice, but another part of his practice is the fact that his brain can envision things. I mean, I think honestly it's probably just the beginning for Rich. I can see him going into like video or AI art, or someone is creative, they're creative. And as you say with Ati, he's also taken that wonderful fashion sort of sensibility and performance, and that idea that identity is performance, and brought it into the art world into a tangible way, and probably made it more relatable to people, because I think fashion is strangely probably more relatable to people than art, because we all have to engage with clothing every day. True. In some capacity. True. So yeah, I love sort of blurring those lines.
Yeah, it was interesting. Earlier on, you also said curator. It sounds like such a big word, and it is true. You know, when you're not in the art world and you hear the sort of curator, what does curation mean? And because it's something quite personal, just tell me what it means to you. I remember I watched a show also that you curated at the Cavalli Estate?
Yes.
I loved how you put together everything, but take me on this journey of curation.
For me, curation means when ideas meet relationships. So for me, artwork, working in the art, the act of being a cultural worker, is really just relationships. My relationships with the artists are everything. My relationships with fellow curators are everything. With fellow gallerists, I'm someone who's very open to collaboration. It's when we either have a shared idea, if I'm working with another curator, or perhaps I have an idea I want to put forward, and it's bringing my relationships in, pulling on my network, and seeing who can help me tell that story. Mm. And it always just comes together when people, you know, help each other. Someone brings an idea. An artist brings an artwork that, oh gosh, you didn't really think that would aid this idea, but it's so interesting that you've thought about that, or brings a different medium. So it really just is that thing of something that feels grand, like art theory or a story that's difficult to tell, meeting the relationships you have in your network.
Fantastic. So curation, it's your way of storytelling then.
Absolutely.
Through the stories, I suppose, that you have within you.
Absolutely. Or having a conversation with art history. I think that's also another interesting way to approach curation. There's so much that's happened before us. There's so many movements that have come. There's movements we know about and some we don't know about. Artists we know about and artists we don't know about. So sometimes curatorship can also be, having this conversation with art history, sometimes being critical of it, asking, should that have been done this way? And also being optimistic. Maybe there's a better way to do it. So it can be twinfold, or it can be a brand new idea. It can be futuristic. It can be something that feels unattainable. There's so many different ways to approach it, but it comes down to how are the artists going to help you tell this, and do they feel safe that you are the person that can hold and share these stories?
So take the art scene in Cape Town, which you are familiar with, you grew up in, and then take Los Angeles. How would you say, firstly, the art scene is different or similar? And how are your collectors in Cape Town different to your collectors in LA?
firstly, I just really want to credit Cape Town and South Africa. We have such a rich art scene. Mm. It's been brilliant to kind of come up through this scene. Our artists, the quality of art that's made here, the tenacity of artists to keep creating, despite sometimes there being challenges of not having enough funding and not knowing where, you know, your rent, your studio rent check is coming from. Our artists make here because they want to make. They're also very intelligent. They make sensitive work. So coming from this, from the South African art scene, has actually been brilliant because, as I mentioned, there are some challenges. So it actually prepares you for that war a little bit, yeah, too, because the global stage is phenomenal. I mean, the opportunities are everywhere for the picking, but you also got to make sure that you're the best candidate for, let's say, the fair or for a museum show. So I think that like sharpening your battle knives here in South Africa has been incredible. Our collector base in South Africa are also very generous. Mm. Very similar to me, I see that they really look at artists and support them from inception.
Mm.
So I always say that artists should put Instagram is such an amazing tool for them to put themselves out there.
But don't you think that's also been interesting for me? Because I think, of course, you've got artists who are represented by galleries, yes, and that's fantastic. Mm. But a lot of artists actually have to take that into their own hands, and they do have platforms now like social media,
totally,
to actually get their work out there and be seen.
So there's different sort of spheres of being an artist, and none are better or worse, right? Mm. There's being a fledgling artist, and maybe this is your first body of work and you're putting it out there. That's valid and that's beautiful. And I see collectors connect with us. Then I see there's other like spheres of artists where maybe you've had one or two solo exhibitions, and then we start looking at our greats, our giants. And all of this is valid expression. And I think collectors are able to recognize that. Mm-hmm. Also innately, I think collectors are just people that want to support other people's creative pursuits. I think the word collector can also be quite daunting because you have this idea that you have to be really moneyed to be a collector.
But
right?
this is the thing for me. I think the concept of patronage and art patronage has also maybe changed over the years, because I say to people, yes, I'm a collector. I'd like to think of myself as a fledgling, then to use your word, as a fledgling patron. But it is one of those things, whether you're using money to collect and support the artists, or you're actually using your platforms to help artists and your connections to get artists to engage in places that they need to be.
Totally. And also just giving them support. If you see an artist is open to it, visiting their studios, perhaps visiting a studio sale, you'll be surprised what you can get for something within your budget. Mm. I'm also very much a fledgling collector, and I'm thrilled to be able to support like graduate exhibitions or artists that have just come out. And there are also some artists that do, they have sort of various tiers. Maybe they've got edition prints, and then they've got your, you know, your originals. So there are different access points. It is daunting, but if it's something that you're interested in, I would encourage people to look at these different access points. And also, there's nothing wrong with asking. I realize working in different sort of gallery spaces, look, yes, some of your William Kentridge is probably going to be probably going to have to save up for that one. But there are some galleries are open to different ways, payment plans. Mm. Some artists are also open to negotiate. Ask, you know, I think that's the easiest thing. But to come back to your earlier question of how do we compare the Cape Town art scene to, let's say, New York or Los Angeles, where Southern Guilds obviously opened. South Africa has been, such an amazing place to just learn, completely learn, because then you go into the world and the world is so big and there's so many different voices. So something that I've kind of specialized in, and I guess probably you too, is contemporary African art.
That's my thing. I don't have time to also learn about all the different older forms of art.
Sure.
To me, my focus is contemporary African art because I can also meet the artists, which is important.
Real. It feels authentic. We're here. You know, we're meeting the artists. We're seeing the stories. There's a relationship to our shared history. But when you go into the world, there's a lot going on. And contemporary South African art, or African art, you know, we've got to fight the doors and we've got to break down those doors. So LA, I must be honest, I've not fully experienced it. You know, I've dipped my toe in. You know, when we opened, it was phenomenal to see the support, especially from the African-American community. We've really felt that strongly. I think it's like really this interest in learning about contemporary African art history There's also been people that are really open-minded. Contemporary African art is also excellent, you know, so it makes it an easy sell, quote unquote, even on a sort of philosophical level. So there's so much more for me to experience. I mean, the level of museums there, I mean, I think that's the one thing. You know, South Africa is still getting there. You know, we have our Zeitz, we've got our Novels, we've got, you know, the ones in Johannesburg. But with the level of museum there is just something I crave here for us. But it will come.
We'll get there.
It will come.
We'll get there. Jana, thank you so much. I mean, it's been such a treat chatting to you. I want to find out from you, what are you most excited about for the contemporary South African and African art scene? Which artists excite you? Which movements excite you? But what excites you the most about where we are right now?
For me, it's going to have to be our young painters. And I'm really glad you asked this question because the one painter I'm incredibly excited about at the moment is Mangaliso Nzuza. He is just an artist after my heart. He paints in this luscious oil paint, these abstracted figures and repose at leisure, be it interior scenes or exterior scenes. But he just creates a mood that you're able to step into and also is able to transcend, I think, different ages are able to connect to the work, different sort of people from different walks of life. You can just take yourself there because it is this imagined space. So that's someone I'm incredibly excited about. I mean, beyond that, I'm always excited about seeing our local scene grow, like our art fairs, Investor Cape Town Art Fair, Art Joburg. Those excite me because they continue to grow. We continue to attract international talent and our talent continues to like be able to share their art and platform there. So I'm always optimistic about the South African art world, and I think for good reason.
Jana, this has been amazing. I mean, thank you so much for just sharing your insight. It is awesome to see how you're championing our artists and the whole art scene in Cape Town. So thank you very much for everything that you do. Appreciate. Jana, if people want to engage with you or, okay, I say that with a reservation because I don't want you to get bombarded, but how do people find you on social media platforms or how do they follow your journey?
Well, that's very optimistic. I wish people would bombard me. I always love having conversations. I think the easiest way to find me would definitely be our magical Instagram platform. My handle is just Jana_babes, babes with a Z. Best place to find me.